There aren't many of us, but this is a big room, so if you have difficulty hearing me, please let me know. My voice doesn't always carry that well. This presentation is about water and the social determinants of health. And what I'd like to do is create a broad perspective to create a context for the more specific presentations that will follow. I'd like to thank Janet Godshaw, my collaborator on this paper. And I believe I'm supposed to tell you that we don't have any financial or commercial interests to disclose, and I did not make a slide to say that, but we don't. The objectives of this presentation are to discuss the relationship between the social determinants of health and access and availability of safe water, and to explore the role of public health nurses in ensuring the provision of safe water for all people. And as I thought about this, I realized that the social determinants of health really provide a framework to identify the losers, which is one of the titles for this overall session. The social determinants of health are those factors that determine the extent to which a person has the social, personal, and physical resources to satisfy needs, strive for personal growth, and cope with the environment. There have been 9 overall factors that act to support or impede health of vulnerable populations that constitute the social determinants of health. And these include income equality, or lack of it, social inclusion or exclusion, employment and job security, working conditions, contribution of the social economy, early child care, education, food security, and housing. The WHO report on the social determinants of health asserts that the lack of health care is not the cause of the huge global burden of illness. And of course, we hear a lot of data these days about how much our country spends on health care, and our ranking, which is about 36th among all countries in our standards of health. Waterborne diseases are not caused by the lack of antibiotics, but by dirty water and by the political, social, and economic forces that fail to make clean water available for all people. The UN Human Development Report asserts that the roots of the crisis in water can be traced to poverty, inequality, and unequal power relationships, as well as flawed water management policies that exacerbate scarcity. And there's a lot of data about the lack of water at this conference, and I don't want to repeat that, but what I would like to do is look at some of the problems with water that do relate directly to the social determinants of health. And specifically, 12% of the world's population uses 85% of its water, and that 12% of the world's population live in industrialized countries, excuse me. At the same time, 1.1 billion people lack access to safe water, and 2.6 billion lack access to basic sanitation. And sanitation and water really go together. It's difficult to talk about one without talking about the other. And I put this in here just to make the point that poverty, overcrowding, and poor sanitation increase the spread of infectious diseases. And this picture is a neighborhood in Lima, Peru. While the average American uses 250 gallons of water per day, those in developing countries cannot find 5. Slum dwellers in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam must rely on private water vendors and pay 5 to 7 times more for a liter of water than an average North American. Every year, 1.6 million children die from diarrhea and other diseases caused by unclean water and poor sanitation. And collectively, women in South Africa walk the equivalent of going to the moon and back 16 times a day just to fetch water. And what these facts illustrate is that it is the poor and it's women and children who suffer most from access to safe water. And those are social determinants of health. If you've watched the film Flow, which I rented and watched in preparation for this day, they talk about how much water we use every time we flush. and that one flush uses more water than many people have access to in a whole day. Something to think about. I think you're all familiar with the UN Millennium Development Goals. Goal number 7 is to ensure environmental sustainability, and one of the targets of that goal is to halve, by 2015, the proportion of people without sustainable access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation, and that is half of the 1990 levels by 2015. A progress report published by the UN in 2006 reported that with half the developing country populations still lacking basic sanitation, the world is unlikely to reach this target by 2015. Some of the causes of water shortage can be categorized into 3 categories, really: pollution and degradation. Most water quality problems are caused by pollution from human activities, and these relate to population growth, to urbanization, and to lack of access. Climate change, erratic rainfall results in increased droughts and flooding, and temperature changes are causing glaciers to melt. And we're hearing a lot about this at this conference, of course. And as I was thinking about that, it's also evident that too much water can cause problems. And New Orleans during Katrina is a good example of that problem. So it's the unequal distribution that can be problematic. And over-extraction. Many people, mostly in arid areas, are over-pumping groundwater with minimal regulation. And this can relate to bad management, to poverty, and to warfare. And I believe we'll be talking more about that later. I apologize for this slide. The formatting got lost when I downloaded it. But what it says is that there are 2 dangerous false assumptions about existing approaches to water problems. And the first is that water and land resources are endless, so that they cannot be used up. We can just count on water and land being available ad infinitum. And secondly, is that the capacity of the natural environment to absorb human waste is endless. And that also is a false assumption. We could go on and on. There's so much that could be said about water, and indeed that's what this whole conference is about. But for this presentation, I wanted to focus on what can public health nurses do about it. Public health nurses have the knowledge and skills to provide the leadership that is needed to address these critical issues impacting on the availability of safe water for all people. And the goal should be to support water as a basic human right for everybody. I don't know how many of you were in the opening session last night, in the Quad Council session, but one of the comments that several of the speakers said is that public health nurses are doers and public health nurses are fixers. And this is a daunting problem to try to do something about to fix. What can we do? The first thing is we can assess the availability of safe water, assess access to safe water, and assess water quality. And in this session, we're taking a global perspective to that, but that can be true, very true, in this country too. And as Janet Gottschall and I were discussing this, she has some very poignant examples of water quality problems right in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And I think we can look at many cities in the United States and see those problems. We can advocate, contact and work with environmental groups, advocate with government agencies, such as city councils, municipal agencies, state agencies, and advocate with NGOs and special interest groups. The WHO report on the social determinants of health states that access to clean water and health care are basic human rights that should be available to all people. They say that the public sector, rather than the marketplace, is responsible for adequate water supply and access, and that wholesale privatization of water should be discouraged. Approaches to water and sanitation problems should be people-centered, And these are just basic principles of public health and community development applied to water. People-centered, recognizing the poor as actors and as change agents, engaging people in the solutions. And I have a wonderful picture that I did not include here of a woman standing next to a pit privy surrounded by a bamboo. It's just a safe, very primitive latrine that has been built in one of the developing countries. And it's a very good example of how simple the solutions can be when we work with people and work with the resources that are available. It should be participatory so that community members discuss the problems, identify the solutions, and establish sustainable management systems. And it should foster social cohesion and empowerment. We need to address the issues of socioeconomic equity, focus on users of natural resources and all the stakeholders, and link poverty reduction, human rights, democratic development, gender equity, and maintenance of the natural resource base. Use appropriate technology to protect the water that we have. Question what major stakeholders are doing to protect the water, world's water, and continuing to promote access to safe water and sanitation as a basic human right. And just in finishing up, I want to recommend to you the UN document on the social determinants of health as a very good reference for these kinds of approaches. And I guess I'd like to conclude by echoing what Lil Mood said last night in the Quad Council. We need to wave the flag. We need to wave the flag and be the advocates for the poor and the people who suffer most from lack of access to water. And with that, I thank you very much.